Money. It's a rich man's world, all right. It's getting more insane by the day, I'm telling you. Last week, we did a very intense section talking about gas and oil prices. And there's all sorts of positive stuff, except that now we're turning around less than a week later. We're finding nothing but negative stuff. We're going to continue to see the prices go up. Oh, they've dropped down 20 cents here in Arizona, but it's just stupid. Sent my granddaughter a text when she was out of town late last week. And a gallon of regular gas had jumped to $3.99 here in Phoenix at every frickin' Circle K. Now, I don't generally go to Circle K for gas, except there is one that I do go to. Because for some reason, the one place that I was going to when everybody else was at $3.99, they were at $3.39. Duh, what do you think I did? Unbelievable. Good day, Mr. and Mrs. America. Welcome to a Tuesday installment. And 19th day of the month. Jeff Bennett here. Glad to be here. Glad to be anywhere. You know, the last 3.5 weeks, I have been busting my rear end, overhauling my garage, doing lots of little itsy-bitsy things that I've been putting off and putting off and putting off, doing a lot of work outdoors. My buddy Riley was here. We moved a lot of rock. I think I still need 2 more loads of it, but I haul that from the front yard. And then once he gets back, we'll hop in the car and run up the road here and start loading buckets of rocks to replace some of those that we took. I've got to redo some other things in the front of the house. And I guess last night it finally caught up with me. I slept a long time. I woke up. I had things I had to go do this morning. I got up. I left. One of them I decided I couldn't do. Other oddball reasons, not because I physically couldn't do it. It's time to walk away. Got something to eat. Went to Home Depot because I've got to find something special for my office. Nothing expensive, nothing particularly big. It'll cost me $25-$30 maybe. But I finally found what I needed, and they didn't have it at that Home Depot. They called the other Home Depot. They've got 2 of them. Asked them to hold one, so I'll go pick it up tomorrow. Maybe tonight. I have to get this done. Amazing. So, economics are caca. Over at Sierra Madre Precious Metals, I've been busy over there to some degree. I've not published as much as I normally have, but this particular article really ticked me off. Illegal immigrants are leaving the U.S. hospitals with billions of dollars in unpaid bills. Now, just who in the hell do you think is going to pay for those bills? Oh, Joey will probably do it, but you know where Joey gets his money? From us. The hospital systems are struggling. It's uninsured illegal invaders use them as their free healthcare destination. Tens of thousands of them going in for treatment, leaving billions in these uncompensated healthcare costs in their wake. House Committee on Homeland Security recently released a report illustrating that from the estimated $451 billion in annual costs stemming from the U.S. border crisis, a significant portion is going to health care for illegal immigrants. $451 billion in annual costs. I ask the same question. Who in the hell do you think is going to pay those bills? We're going to pay them. Taxes. With the majority of the illegal immigrant population lacking any kind of medical insurance, hospitals and government welfare programs like Medicaid are feeling the weight of those unanticipated costs. Maybe it's one of the reasons that I'm getting such lousy service from United Healthcare. Maybe they're having to fork out a whole bunch for this stuff too, but then it ain't just United Healthcare. How are you folks doing with your, you know, healthcare systems? You want to learn more about it? Go to Sierra Madre Precious Metals. Second article from the top. Some of the double legal headlines that we published. U.S. drivers are warned to brace for a jump in gasoline prices. We were told it's all going down. Average U.S. credit score falls for the first time in a decade thanks to steep prices and record high interest rates and illegal invasion medical bills. U.S. national debt is rising by $1 trillion about every 100 days. Oil prices could surprise to the upside this year. We just keep coming back to that one. Then, of course, we have the dance, you know, live from Las Vegas, dancing with the czars, C-Z-A-R-S. Higher forever? Even Janet Yellen has started to get it. Higher inflation and higher yields are here to stay. Yeah, she said it seems unlikely that the yields are going to go back to being as low as they were before the pandemic. Oh, here's another one. U.S. is pumping more oil than any country in history. It's unlikely to be surpassed anytime soon. If we're pumping more oil, why are gas prices going up? Or are we exporting it all? Well, the old satirical movie, which may have been Three Stooges. Oil's well that ends well. Oh, yes. But as Arnold Schwarzenegger might say, but we will pump you up. Simply amazing. Should Congress audit the Federal Reserve? They can't. The Federal Reserve is a privately owned corporation, but the Federal Reserve could probably audit Congress. Think about it. Unbelievable. Finally, a piece from Michael Snyder. Is the soaring cost of living stressing you out? U.S. households are spending an extra $11,434 per year just to maintain the same standard of living they did just a few years ago. Yep. I wonder how much that is hidden taxes to pay for all the illegals. Think about it, my friends. And then, of course, we're dealing with our boy, Joey. Bullying Big Brother has now teamed up with the banks. Interestingly enough, the individual who wrote this article for American Family News, his name is Charlie Butts. I'm sorry. I got to get a few laughs out of this once in a while. I mean, what about you? Oops, what did I just do? It figures. I screwed that up. Get it back out of there. Ay-yay-yay-yay-yay. Hang on a second. I'm pushing the wrong button, that's why. There we go. Now I'm going to hit zoom in and it's going to pop on me again. There we go. Hot dog, we're in business. So let's go back and talk about our boy Joey, who I'm sick and tired of talking about. This guy is just the vomitory. Conservative groups, if there are such a thing anymore. You know, when they start talking about conservative groups, they typically are talking about so-called conservative politicians. There ain't no such thing. Are wondering when the Biden administration will make another move to silence them. Alliance Defending Freedom attorneys testified in a recent congressional hearing that Big Brother is lurking in the shadows. Michael Ross says the president's apparently gathering information that is none of the government's business. Now, this becomes important. It begins to answer some interesting questions about what the hell's going on with the banking system in this country. The administration is conducting financial surveillance on millions of Americans, is conducting surveillance on ADF, that's Alliance Defending Freedom, and telling banks that they need to be concerned about people who are associated with ADF because of the conservative and religious advocacy that we promote, that they promote. U.S. Treasury Department's law enforcement arm has reportedly been colluding with big banks to monitor customers to identify so-called domestic threats based on a shared list of so-called hate groups published by the Institute for Strategic Dialogue, which lumps mainstream religious and conservative organizations like Family Research Council, Liberty Council, Pacific Justice Institute, the Ruth Institute, along with the American Nazi Party and the Knights of the KKK. Interesting. The Democratic Party and this administration wants to check into the KKK. Do you know that some of the most profound political leaders in Washington, D.C. during our lifetime were actually members of the KKK? They weren't bothering to look into that stuff then, were they? Last week, Jeremy Tedesco testified before the U.S. House Select Committee on the weaponization of the federal government. Very, very troubling thing that we're seeing where this federal government and law enforcement in particular is carrying out censorship indirectly in surveilling millions of Americans based on disfavored political views that the administration does not like. Now, having said that, give me just a second here. I've got to add something interesting to this. Last week, see if I can find this quickly. Here it is. On March 12th, I shared a very intense headline. I only shared a couple of paragraphs with you and strongly urge you go read it. Sierra Madre Precious Metals. Scroll down, Double Eagle headlines on March 12th. Wells Fargo abruptly terminating customers' bank accounts. Amongst some of the reasons might have to do with some of the depositors' political leanings? Oh, how interesting. You begin to see the tie-ins here? This is unreal. Tedesco said that some of the larger banks do have a pattern and practice of using vague and subjective policies to censor or deny service to certain customers based on political and religious views. These are the things you need to go take a look at. You need to have an understanding of what in the living daylights is going on, maybe with your bank. There's some crazy stuff going on. Falling electric vehicle sales are forcing the Biden administration to back off on new emission standards. That's one headline. There's been a newer headline today. Oh, yeah, Joey's putting the pressure on. Yowza bowza. Let's do something else. Let's talk about metal for a while today. I don't do this very often anymore. For all the years that I've maintained one variation of our precious metals website or another, originally it was called Flying Eagle Gold. It then became Kettle Moraine Precious Metals. It then became Morgana Precious Metals. And, of course, now it's Sierra Madre Precious Metals. And nothing's really changed. Some interesting names. The thought of going with the whole Kettle Moraine thing, I just decided I didn't want to do that. That's the corporate entity, but I probably should have kept it that way. It would have been simple. But trying to spell Kettle Moraine, people spell it, Kettle Moraine when they send checks. Moraine, M-O-R-A-N-E. Yeah, like when the sun goes down, it could be Moraine. Yeah, never mind. The basis is that almost every article that's ever been published within the confines of that site is still there, going all the way back to its beginnings. Looking at some of the work from Mike Meharry today, talking about gold garnering a lot of attention in the past few weeks. Record-setting run, and it has. Gold has set records in the last couple of weeks. Since the end of February, gold is up nearly 7%, set an all-time record of $2,195 an ounce along the way. That's really good news for silver. I know that was not the misquote. That means silver. And silver is what we're going to talk about today. And just for poops and giggles, let's take a fast peek. Let's see what's going. So $2,195 was our high on gold. Settled down a little bit. Currently, gold is sitting at $2,160 an ounce. Still nothing to shake a stick at. I mean, we're down about, $35 from where we were a couple weeks ago. So what? That's $35 savings. Silver is sitting just shy of $25 an ounce right now. Spot. Can't buy it for that. But we'll get to that here shortly. So here's the reality. Mainstream analysts are beginning to take notice about precious metals. A recent CNBC article declared that gold prices could keep climbing, but analysts expect silver to steal the show before too long. Ultimately, silver historically does. And I believe that will happen. From a percentage standpoint, silver sitting at roughly 25. Silver at one point in time, and I can't remember what year, broke $50 an ounce. They've never allowed it to go back there. Why? Places like J.P. Morgan the Pirate Chase have been doing their utmost to buy as much silver, physical silver, as is humanly possible. They're busting their butt to keep the cost down for their benefit. But let's talk a little bit about the gold rally. Anticipation of Federal Reserve rate cuts and worries about de-dollarization sparked the gold's recent bull rally. And yet, our author believes that that's just the opening act. U.S. government isn't going to suddenly become fiscally responsible or more reserved in using the power of the dollar as a foreign policy tool. So de-dollarization will continue and accelerate. And the mainstream, he believes, is right, that rate cuts are coming, but not for the reason most people think. The narrative is that the Fed has about got inflation whipped. Last week, that idiot Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell said that inflation is not far from where it needs to be to start rate cuts. Meanwhile, the economy is going to cruise to a soft landing. Yeah, well, let me tell you something, Jerome. There are two problems with that fairy tale. Number one, inflation ain't whipped. In fact, it seems intent on sticking around. And furthermore, the Fed has not done enough to rein in price inflation. But then the federal government just keeps getting us deeper and deeper and deeper in the hole. The second problem with the fairy tale of Jerome is that the economy is broken. And another financial crisis is on the horizon. Oh, folks, the economy was not built to operate with interest rates at this level. It's only a matter of time before it cracks, just like it did back in '08. And when the economy cracks, we all know what the Fed will do. It's going to run to the rescue. It'll slash rates to zero. It'll relaunch quantitative easing and unleash another tsunami of easy money. And so what's gold going to do then? If this recent rally based on the hope of rate cuts was this big, the rally we'll see when the Fed actually delivers rate cuts far beyond what anyone today expects will likely send the price into orbit. And that's great news for silver, my friends. Because silver tends to get overlooked. It's often referred to as gold's little brother or its poor cousin. But while the price of silver is much more volatile, it generally correlates with gold over time. In fact, silver historically tends to outperform gold and a gold bull market. That was the case during the pandemic. That gold pushed above $2,000 an ounce, charting a 39% gain. Silver rallied to nearly $30 an ounce. That was a 147% increase. Here's what one analyst said. Here's what usually happens with silver. It does move with gold, but it moves later. Gold will shoot up first, and then you'll see silver take off rapidly, and silver always outperforms. It's just late. Well, over the last month, silver quietly charted a gain of nearly 12%, once again outperforming gold, but silver still has plenty of sky above it. Even as gold set a new record, the white metal remains about $5 below its 2020 high and $25 an ounce below its record. The gold-silver ratio is 86 to 1. That reflects the discrepancy between the two precious metals. That means it takes about 86 ounces of silver to buy 1 ounce of gold. That's historically a widespread. The average gold-silver ratio in the modern era is generally ranged between 40 to 1 and 60 to 1. And when the ratio widens far beyond that range, as it has in recent years, it typically returns toward that mean. What does that mean? The pandemic or plandemic era provides a more recent example. As the Fed cut rates and launch quantitative easing to prop up a shaky economy caused by rate hikes the prior year, the gold-silver ratio climbed to nearly 93 to 1. And as silver rallied along with gold, the gold-silver ratio plunged from over 100 to 1 to just over 64 to 1, close to the high end of the historic norm. Macquarie, head of commodity strategy at Marcus Garvey, told CNBC that he thinks the expectation of rate cuts is setting up gold very well. Call it risk positive, which, of course, will bode well for silver. From silver's perspective, Garvey continued, I mean, it's sort of around numbers, really. You want to get comfortably clear of the $24 level to feel that you've got a bit more room to run? It's simple. Supply and demand dynamics. All of these things look good for silver. Silver demand is expected to hit 1.2 billion ounces this year, according to the Silver Institute, which would rank as the second highest annual silver demand on record. Record industrial demand for silver is expected to drive overall silver offtake this year. And Garvey said that if global economic growth picks up, that could push silver even higher. And then, he said, I would expect silver to go from a relative underperformer to gold being a relative outperformer to gold over really the third and fourth quarter of this year. Of course, the green energy movement is driving a big surge in demand for silver because governments are pushing this initiative. Should be a relatively recession-proof sector. Government money will likely keep flowing even if the global economy struggles. You know, it's all insane, my friends. The silver price may be lagging behind the gold price in the futures market, but it would be foolish to assume that that implies some sort of permanent divergence between the two metals. Most of the firms trading futures don't care about gold supply and demand as well. The electronic markets appear increasingly unhinged from reality. For long-term holders of gold and silver, nothing has changed. Both metals make sense to own given the times we are living in. Silver looks cheap relative to gold, and retail silver premiums have come way down. Now is not the time to get frustrated with or fooled by silver's lagging price. Odds are the poor man's gold will catch up over time. Let me share one statement with you. The quote that I just shared with you states that silver looks cheap relative to gold and retail silver premiums have come way down. The guy who made the statement is the exchange director of a very large precious metals retail operation. Let me put it in simple terms. He's a lion's sack of crap. The retail silver premiums above spot have not come down. I continue to watch it go up and up and up. Let's talk just a little bit about silver. There's another article published a few days ago called Silver Poised to Play Catch Up to Gold. Pretty much similar. As a matter of fact, it's written by a guy who works for that other guy who, quote, we just shared with you. It really bugs the hell out of me, the deceitful nature of all this stuff. I contacted my supplier before going on the air. I wanted to see what was going on with the market. I mean, I knew what the market was doing. And I wanted to see what my cost is for buying 1 ounce silver rounds, the Buffalo rounds. These are newly minted Buffalo rounds. This is the coin that was designed to absolutely duplicate the old 1930s Buffalo Head nickel or Indian Head nickel, whatever you want to call it. But it's always been referred to as the Buffalo. So I went looking at one of my so-called competitors, one of the guys that claims to be so super cheap. And I beat their price all the time. Oh, they give you a break. How much it'll cost you if you buy 1 to 19 or 20 to 99? Or why break it that way? People are going to buy it by the roll. Make it 1 to 20 and then 21 to 100 or whatever. It's just so stupid the way they do this stuff. And I'm tromping their price six ways to Sunday. So having spent this time talking about silver, and I've not been spending a lot of time doing advertising. Keep in mind, anyone who listens to the network that contacts me, that decides to place an order for silver, for gold, whatever the case may happen to be, a percentage of that sale comes right back to RBN. So I take a look at spot silver. We're 2 pennies away from $25 right now, an ounce, okay? It's been a good week. Here's the deal. I can do, with this particular supplier, I can do a 3-roll minimum. There's 20 newly minted 1-ounce silver rounds, the Buffalo Head rounds, per roll. So 3 rolls minimum is going to cost, you know, you're going to pay $29.10 per ounce. That to me is an outrageous markup as it is. I don't like it. But it's lower than these other people. Spots at 25, I got to pay a cost over 25 to get them, and I get them in here. And at 3 rolls, you know, that's 60 pieces, $1,746. Okay, $1,746 for 3 rolls. But why do I want that stuff? Because when push comes to shove, you're going to be able to swap a few of these things for some gasoline at 7-Eleven or Circle K, which are typically run by a lot of foreigners anyway. They understand the value of the silver. I want to own gold, but it's almost beyond. Where do you break an ounce of gold? If you're out there with an ounce of gold at $2,100, $2,200 an ounce and you just need some groceries, how are you going to get change? Yeah, put a good percentage of your funds in gold, but damn it, make sure you've got at least 30% in silver or more so that you can barter and trade for some food, some gasoline. Maybe you need to pick up a couple of new tires, whatever the case may be, and for some of that, you may need to use the gold. How about we jump up to 100 ounces? We're dropping from $29.10 an ounce down to $28.70. $28.70. This other company I'm looking at is currently sitting at $29.01 for 100 plus. I'm going to be at $28.70. I mean, that's 31 cents an ounce. It's your money. If you want to take advantage, you want to pick up some silver, and I know these are tough times to do it, ladies and gentlemen. We're trying to put food on the table. One of the headlines we shared earlier, but the excessive amount of money that people are having to pay for things that they were able to do just a couple of years ago. I understand that. Don't misunderstand. I do have the advantage to go to my local guy and pick up 1 or 2 rolls. Maybe 3, but I'm going to pay him a higher cost than I'm getting from my main supplier. And unfortunately, I'm going to have to, you know, see a considerable. I guarantee you, if I go to him, it's probably going to run, my cost will probably be a minimum of $2 higher than what I'm having to pay my big supplier right now. I got to go pick it up. My shipping fee's less. $10-$11 to ship out to you. You know, but it's just, there are options there. I will work for you. This is your money. I will not waste it. I will not steal it from you. I will not take it from you. You work hard. I just did a transaction with a client last night that I've been doing a lot of work with on and off for many, many years. We actually haven't done anything for a couple of years now. And he wanted to trade a bunch of silver rounds for some of the Valcombi 1 ounce gold pieces. And we've got access to those at superb prices, by the way. And we can get 1 ounce gold rounds for less money than the Valcombis, but they're not breakable. The Valcombis are. So if I can be of assistance, please give me a call, 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can text me at that number, but the texting is starting to become a royal pain in the butt. But if it's a quick way to do it and say, hey, Jeff, it's so-and-so, can you give me a call? Do that, and I will call you. We'll touch bases. And I've got some issues going on with the U.S. Postal Service. I've got a client back in Chicago who mailed a check to me on the, oh, my goodness, it's been 10 days now from Chicago, and it ain't here yet. This is the second time he's had this issue happen. Now, maybe it's at the post office today. My wife's going down there to pick it up right now, if it's there. We're having greater difficulty with the Postal Service, and I've made a decision in some instances. I'm going to have, if you're going to be mailing with a check, money order, I'm going to probably be giving you a separate address. Right now, there's problems with my post box. I'm not sure if it's that particular post office. There's something funny going on. I had a client that mailed a check months ago, and that check has never reappeared anywhere. Just disappeared. Stupid, stupid, stupid. Anyway, 602-799-8214. You can also go to the Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com website. And our email address is in the lower right-hand column. Take a peek. Well, I guess in many respects, what we're facing, the sinking dollar, the sinking U.S. economy means a weaker dollar. These are amongst the reasons it's taking so many more dollars to go to McDonald's or Boogie King or wherever the heck you're eating now. I was at Denny's last night, but I've got some amazing relationships at some of the servers at Denny's, and I went up there and I had a cup of coffee. I had the most expensive dessert they have in that place. And they just look over their shoulders, and many times I never get a bill. A lot of things I do for those folks. I've had helped a lot of kids that were in school there, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, we go from that point. But the fact of the matter is that our economy is sinking. We're going to continue with this weaker dollar. The manufacturing and consumer confidence weaknesses of the United States are deeply concerning, particularly considering that all those allegedly infallible Keynesian policies are being applied intensely. And considering the insanity of deficit spending driven by entitlement programs, the decline in the headline University of Michigan Consumer Sentiment Index in March to 76.5 from 76.9 is even worse than expected. But let us remember that that index was at 101 in 2019, has not recovered the brief bounce shown by the reopening effect in March of 2021. Consumer confidence is incredibly low, my friends. And a decline in the expectations index fully explains the most recent decline. Persistent inflation, higher gas prices, declining real wages. All of these things explain the poor expectations of the average citizen. And furthermore, this poor consumer confidence reading comes after poor control group retail sales last month. And we're just, what? Anyway, we're 3 months past Christmas. The amount of sales during Christmas that were given as gifts and then they were all returned to get the cash back. My friends, this is not a strong economy we're living in. The consumer confidence index, the labor participation, the unemployment to population ratios, as well as real wage growth. All of this remains massively below the pre-pandemic level, and this after $6.3 trillion in new public debt that will likely reach $8 trillion by the end of this year. Public debt. The manufacturing weakness in this country is also a problem, because this should be a period of high growth, considering the opportunities generated all over the world. Industrial output bounced 0.8% in February, but the January figure was revised to a larger 1.1% slump. And if we factor in the decline in the Empire State, that's New York, their survey to a minus 20.9 in March. Looks like this manufacturing decline is going to persist. And hence the shape of our economy also reflects the impossibility of the soft landing narrative. Inflation remains well above the target. Bond yields are reflecting the reality of persistent inflation. Furthermore, money supply growth stopped declining months ago. And if the money supply rises and government spending continues to rise, as it will, the Fed's going to be unable to cut rates. And the impoverishment of citizens is going to continue. This is the result of insane fiscal policy that increases spending and taxes, people. Weak growth, manufacturing decline, and worsening consumer confidence. Demand-side policies and Keynesian experiments are leaving a once-strong economy on the same path as the euro era. Stagflation. A warning sign should be the fact that the increase in public debt completely justifies the gross domestic product recovery. But this is the problem of extraordinary monetary and fiscal experiments now, isn't it? Governments embrace massive spending. Well, how much money have we sent to Ukraine? Now we've got problems going on in Israel, Gaza, Hamas. We got things going on in Venezuela. We got things going on in God knows where. We just keep sending money out to everybody in every place. And oh, man, look at the number of illegals we've been taking in. It's not just the hospitals. You and I are paying for their housing, for their food, for their health care, for their education, for transportation to wherever they seem to want to go, whether it's by bus or plane, they get to go where they want to. These are the problems of extraordinary monetary and fiscal experiments. Seems like you and I have become the experiment. How much money can we get from the dummies to pay for the other dummies? Governments embrace massive spending, debt monetization under the premise that they will implement. Hang on. Sorry about that. Wow, that's a rarity. They will implement control policies if the warning signs appear. But when they do, they never stop spending. Nope, the economist close to the government said the administration would reconsider and adjust its budget if inflation rose and alarm bells rang. These alarm bells started ringing the day that Biden took office. We've heard them all. all these alarm bells. The administration continues as if nothing happened. The Inflation Reduction Act became the Inflation Perpetuation Act. The rise in government borrowing is now evident in the 10 and 30-year curve, and the private sector is in an obvious contraction. My friends, trusting governments to moderate spending after an expenditure binge is simply a very dangerous bet that always ends up with worse conditions for citizens. It's kind of like the government's motto is, as they talk to us, bend over, we'll drive. Because you see, once they start, the government, they cannot stop. And the inevitable end is higher taxes, weaker growth, lower real wages, and a decline in the purchasing power of the dollar. Decline in the purchasing power of the dollar. I guess that's the main reason I want to own gold and silver. All the figures in the U.S. economy scream buy gold because the government will always prefer to destroy the currency than to moderate the budget deficit and government size in the economy. It's appalling. Just amazing. Ron Paul has a new article out today entitled Blame the Fed for Shrinkflation. I'll get a look at it a little bit later tonight. Luann Rockwell has a new piece, How the Democrats Plan to Steal the Election. Oh, surprise, surprise. I mean, so big deal. It looks like Biden and Trump have clinched the nominations of their parties for president. But I got to tell you something, folks. With everything that they're pulling on Trump, I don't see how he's going to make it. It's not good. Everything I read is not good. I don't understand it, folks. We are in this country screwed, blued, and tattooed. And guess what? So is Trump. They're not going to allow him to get in there. They just assume keeping the dummy in there. That's what he is. He's a dummy. Oh, there's lots of rumors that he's not even the real guy. Of course, we hear the same stories about Putin, too. Maybe that's the problem, is all the leaders of the world is they're all phonies. There are no leaders in the world. They're all puppets. Okay, let me take a couple of minutes to talk about something, a side issue, and I'm going to share this same thing during the close of the next hour. I hope you'll stay with us the next hour. We're not going to be dealing with economic issues, but please, if you are considering some silver, if you want to talk about options for metals, if you have some that you need to liquidate, give me a call. We can discuss that as well and see what kind of prices I can get for you. Or if you've got the time, I will do my utmost to resell them for you and get you a better price than what you would get just by selling it to a dealer of any type. Coming up during the next hour, we're not going to be dealing with economics. We're going to be dealing with some of the political issues that we're having to combat. However, I have to Can I hide that sucker? No, it's not going to allow me to hide it. That drives me crazy. On one of my sites, I can do that very easily. On the other site, it's very difficult to do. Tomorrow, Wednesday, is my normal day of doing health-related programs. I'm not going to be doing that this week. Something through a total fluke, I was going through some of my old archives. I came across a program that I had done in December the 16th of, I think it was 2010. And it was Christmas time. The program that I did was called In Defense of Ebenezer Scrooge. Now, that's not what we're going to be airing tomorrow. That became very interesting, and because of this thing, I talked to my buddy Charlie Dickens, finally got him up on Skype. I shot that thing over to him, and he fell out of his tree. He could not believe it. But having said that, I'm going through my recorded programming archives, and I came across an interesting set of 2 hours of programming. I began to listen to one of them, recorded on October the 18th of 2019, entitled So Tired of America. I was filling in for John Statmiller that day. It was all recorded through my studio equipment. The sound quality is superb. I've not gotten to the second hour to listen to it. Many times when I would fill in for John, I would not open with his normal music. I pretty much controlled my own music. I think, in effect, that may or may not be what I did at this point in time, as I was probably controlling it from my studio. Quite shocking. Tomorrow, this program that I do, Perspectives on America, we're going to re-air this two-hour program that I did in place of John Statmiller back in October of 2019. I hope you tune in. Quite surprising to me. I don't, you know, just because I record these things doesn't mean I necessarily go back and listen to them all. I had a program I did years ago. I couldn't tell you the date. I'm going to assume probably 2004, 2005. I did a program called Why Not Try God? Interestingly enough, the script using it for that program was written by a silent movie actress who was married to Douglas Fairbanks. Her name was Mary Pickford. I'm going to go back and listen to that. We may decide to insert that at some point in time. I listened to a full hour of a series I had done many, many years ago, which in many respects we still continue to combat, called Village of the Damned, which deals with our whole lousy education system in this country, etc. But this particular one, I did a rarity. I actually had a guest on. And this goes back to, I believe it was about 2009. The guest was a marvelous teacher and writer who I published many of her works over the years and still continue to publish some. But I'm not sure she's alive anymore. And I need to see if I can try to reach her and see if she is still out there. But, yeah, we keep busy with it all. And strangely enough, in an hour program called War, What Is It Good For? Now, we're in the midst of a war now, politically, economically, militarily, we seem to be all over the world. I saw a headline a little while ago that we are being kicked out of a country, a particular country, and I can't remember which country it is. We are reaching the end of our strength as a nation, people. People don't understand it. Stay with us. We'll be back in a few minutes for the second hour of Perspectives on America, right here on RBN.
Money, it's a gas. Grab that cash with both hands and make a stash. New car, caviar, four-star daydream. Think of buying me a football team. Money. Get back. I'm all right, Jack. Keep your hands off of my stack. Money, it's a hit. Don't give me that too good, good bullshit. I'm in.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.